This 15-acre field near Freehold, New Jersey, used to be a vegetable farm. For the Green Mountain Rangers, it is a war zone. For their purposes, this is Iraq.
Shooter ready! Four rounds! Shooter ready!
Iraq Army veteran Brian Liebelt is the tactical commander of the Rangers. Today he is training a squad of 12 men in close quarters combat. They are preparing for a battle called Pine Plains, an insurgency scenario that will take place Memorial Day weekend at Fort Drum in upstate New York.
4 rounds. Shooter ready. Go ahead. Engage.
The men are facing the charred skeletons of dilapidated farm buildings. The windows and entrances are what the squad needs to simulate urban combat. They raise their weapons to their shoulders at the command of the squad leader.
Up. Stay up! Make you stand black and up!
As they run out of pellets, right. They drop to a knee to reload and say black. Airsoft is a game, like paintball, but more extreme. Players use guns that are exact replicas of real ones, but just shoot pellets.
Is this your gun?
My rifle, yes.
Your rifle?
Yes.
Not far from the practice field, I meet with Joe Casanova, a 24-year-old computer programmer. He plays most weekends of the year.
It's an M4A1 rifle, replica, of course. There's a rail foregrip. Nothing real too special about it. I like my rifles really plain Jane. But it's pretty close. Feels like a real one.
Joe spent $500 on this gun, and almost that much on his vest, the same kind that the 75th Army Ranger Company is wearing over in Iraq. For the battles, the Rangers add in the sound effects of munitions and sirens. Hundreds of airsoft players like Joe stage elaborate battle simulations. As in Iraq, they call the battles ops. One famous battle that lends itself to simulation is the Battle of Baghdad, the original Marine capture of the city from Saddam. The fake Marines have to take control of the fake city, control the fake civilian population, and battle the fake insurgents.
The scenario basically throws us into the city where you fight for control of the city, you're building to building fighting. Which is extremely intense. You hear gunfire everywhere you go. You hear screaming everywhere you go.
Who's screaming?
Not only the players, but there's also civilian role players. So they play the part of people that live in the city. They play the part of an insurgent group. There's a militia group, and brings it to a whole nother level.
This isn't just a bunch of guys in camo with fake guns, though.
A lot of the civilian role players are actually... they're actually staff or volunteers at Zussman.
The Zussman that Joe refers to is the premier urban combat training facility at Fort Knox in Kentucky. Participants, including vets, say some of the biggest battles they stage take place on military facilities such as Zussman, and they say they are set up and run by retired or active duty military commanding officers.
Who's hit? We got a medic in here?
Here's Brian Douglas, a Green Mountain Ranger.
Sometimes we go to games like that. You know, this is the U.S. team, and then you're the special security contractor team.
Are the Iraqis dressed up like Iraqis?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Then they wear, like, all black and shemags.
Shemag, you know, the traditional cotton head wrap for Arab men. This is just one of the ways the men mimic the real thing. This battle will last 18 hours. These men have been training for this for months. Back on the New Jersey vegetable farm, Brian Liebelt drills his squadron about battle scenarios they will face.
In a building, the reason you go to a knee is so that the guy behind you, you don't want to stop inside of the doorway, all right, because you're blocking everybody else. But if you're in a room, the reason you go to a knee is so that everyone else can engage the targets around without you standing in the freaking way. Everybody got it?
At the battle in May, 500 airsoft players are expected to participate in the intense but simulated firefight. The men don't sleep. They chew skull and take over-the-counter diet drugs to stay awake. There's even a medic, who rushes out into the field to assess casualties. For the Green Mountain Rangers, that's Brian Douglas. And he uses a real medical kit.
So I ended up putting a kit together, and I carry it around. And then,
what's in it?
You know, I have, like, basic stuff, like bandages. I've got, like, there's a lot of stuff, including IV bags and, like, I mean, all the way down to ice packs.
Occasionally, there are real emergencies in fake battle. And if the training field is remote, he can put his acquired skills to use. The pellets can break skin at close range, leading to all kinds of messes from trigger-happy first-time players. People pass out from exhaustion in the days-long ops.
Have you ever used the IV bag?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you gave someone an IV?
Mm-hmm.
had to learn how to do that.
Maybe that's... I don't know if that's legal.
Brian Liebelt and Levi DeFranza both served in the Army in Iraq. Now they are Green Mountain Rangers. They say vets play the game because it's about as close as you can get to duplicating the fog of war. Except there are some things you can't duplicate. Like, for instance, real danger and death.
Something that's kind of common, I wouldn't say common with airsofters, but it's common to airsofters, is a vest or a pouch on the front for your death rag. It's a red rag that when you get shot, you put it on your head and it says, I'm dead.
There are a lot of people playing airsoft in the U.S., more than 9,000 in the Northeast, according to the Northeastern Airsoft Group. And there are four times that many on the West Coast. The sport is big enough to have its own glossy trade magazines, and even its own radio station, Dead Rag Radio. You can download the podcast on iTunes.
It's Dead Rag Radio. Everything you need to know about airsoft, brought to you by...
The sport
airsoft
got really popular around 2002. Airsoft players began staging an elaborate op called Irene. Irene is a reenactment of the Battle of Mogadishu. Retired Colonel Danny McKnight was part of that battle.
In which I was there as the Ranger Battalion Commander and Task Force Ranger, and I'll refer to now today, of course, as Black Hawk Down.
The airsoft reenactment is McKnight's way of making sure the battle and those men are not forgotten. He says the military supports the reenactments.
I think it is a good recruiting tool, I think is the right word to use.
McKnight says the U.S. military allows airsoft games to take place on military urban combat training facilities.
The support is there, and I cannot tell you how many people we recognize every year when we do Irene, say, and we say, okay, everybody that has served in the military, come up here in front. And you'll see every year 30 or 40. How many of you have served in Iraq or Afghanistan? How many of you are still on active duty today, and this is just a weekend off that you're here to do this? There's probably been at least a dozen that I know of have chosen to enlist in the military. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty good perspective.
Now, defense contractor companies that sell gear to the military offer the same gear to the paying airsoft players. It was only a matter of time before the real military got involved.
When we do these events, the assistance we get is from military personnel.
It's the best advertisement for the thrill of the military. Joe Casanova is becoming a convert.
Before Airsoft, I was really afraid of joining the military. I had thought about it. I was always afraid of it. And, you know, I guess I looked at the worst of it. But it's kind of opened my eyes up to what it's really like. And I keep telling myself, if I get bored with my job, I'll probably go to the recruitment station and sign some papers.
There is ample evidence of military encouragement of the military training in the Airsoft games. The veterans talk to me about it openly, and there are photographs of the reenactments taking place at Fort Drum and Fort Knox. But when I showed the photos to media affairs officers at those bases, they were incredulous. They said they were shocked to hear that civilians were using the urban training facilities during a time of war, and that National Guard recruiters were active at these events. After confirming the training, New York State Military and Naval Services spokesman Eric Durr said his office plans to investigate the involvement of National Guard in these events. Why spend so much time and money on a fake war? For a lot of these guys, the military hasn't been an option, especially coming of age in a time of real war. They don't have a death wish. They want the camaraderie, the tactics. Here's Brian Douglas.
The big question that always comes up with us is, why play war in a time of war? And literally, we were completely stumped. We were like, oh my God, what are we doing? You know, we're a bunch of jokesters.
Douglas tells the story of Levi DeFranza. He played airsoft before he joined the Army in 2005, and he was shot in the head in one of the famous battles in Iraq, Ramadi. He survived. When he returned home, he quickly joined the Green Mountain Rangers to play airsoft games again.
It can totally be addicting. And Levi actually put it best. He said, you know, when he was in Iraq, and he, I don't know if he ever said this to you, but, you know, when he was getting shot at, there's, there's a bullet time theory that when you're taking rounds, your adrenaline is so high that everything you see and smell and everything is in slow motion, and you have like different senses, that he could smell bullets going by and he could feel their heat even though they were like feet away from him, and he could see bullets coming at him. And his adrenaline, that rush, is is like, you know, he said it's overwhelming.
As the real war enters its sixth year, Brian and the rest of the Rangers prepare for their fake one. For former soldiers like Brian Liebelt and Levi and Colonel McKnight, these games are an attempt to recapture something they've lost.
It's an overwhelming feeling, you know, when you're getting shot at and you're kicking in doors and there's guys in there and, like, you know, people are running at you and you're shooting at them and they're throwing, you know, grenades and flashbangs and there's cannons going off and, you know, and there's so many things going on and you're trying to stay focused on one objective, one task, you know, and he said, he's like, you know, it's like you get a little glimpse of that. And it's very, very addicting, you know, I think for everybody.
For the rest of the Green Mountain Rangers, it's the closest they might ever get to real combat, unless they join up with the real military.
Shooter ready! Engage!
Lauren Amias, Columbia Radio News.
Y'all, I'm gonna get him.